This is Dave Doggett, and you're listening to the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast, Episode 12. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Maritime Outdoorsman. And today, we're going to be connecting with someone I've already had on the show before, and that's my good friend Steve Clapperton, host of Eastlink TV's Fishing with Friends. And the reason I want to connect with Steve today is because not only is Steve very knowledgeable in fishing in general, but Steve also happens to work on a tuna charter. And, you know, who hasn't thought how cool it would be to hook a giant bluefin tuna? And we have tons of these things, literally tons of these things, swimming around in our waters here in the Maritimes. But we're going to connect with Steve here in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, and that is Atlantic Winds Adventure. And you can find Atlantic Winds Adventure online at AtlanticWindsAdventure.com. And they specialize in catamarans, fishing kayaks, various other kinds of kayaks, paddle boards, even kites. And so by all means, check them out sometime. If you go into the shop or you're talking to them on the phone, let them know how you heard about them on this show. And that's greatly appreciated. So again, today what we're going to do is we're going to connect with my friend Steve, hear what he has to say about the tuna fishery. And so let's go do that right now. All right, Steve, thanks for joining me for kicking off season two of the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast. How you been?
Excellent, Dave. Can't complain. You know, spring's coming, and spring's here, and things are looking up. I'm glad to get over that long winter, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was a brutal one for sure.
Oh, man, unbelievable.
What, you tie a lot of flies to keep yourself busy, or what?
Tied loads of flies, shoveled loads of driveways, and things like that. So there was loads of stuff to do, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you've been out doing some commercial fishing, but later in the summer, is it kind of near the end of the summer that the tuna fishery starts up?
Yes, well, just now I'm just finishing up, wrapping up our lobster season here. It'll be done the 1st of July, and then in middle of July, they'll start getting ready for catch and release tuna fishing, and which starts on the 1st of August this year. And the basin, actually in the Gulf, you know, in the Gulf there, the Bumbling Straits will be out there too, fishing for the giant bluefin tuna, a catch and release. That's been going for a few years now. It's getting busier and busier every year. We've got 20 boats out there chartering this year. And it's all, of course, catch and release, single barbless hook and all that stuff. And it's really taken off. It's been great.
Awesome. So how many years have you guys been chasing the giant bluefins up there?
This will be our fourth year doing the catch and release. And I've been commercially fishing bluefin now for 10 years. Since I've started fishing 10 years ago, the number of fish that have been showing up in our area has increased unbelievable. I mean, when I first started, you'd go a week sometimes without even marking a fish, like, eh? And,
really?
And nowadays, when you go out, you expect to see 50, 60 fish in a day, like, eh? And hook up multiple times, like, so it's quite a crazy phenomenon because they're going on the endangered species list, but yet we're seeing more fish up here than ever been seen in history, like, eh? So it's quite a crazy phenomenon.
How's that working? So they are, in fact, headed to be listed, or are they listed as, what's their status right now?
Endangered, I think, Dave, is okay. What they're listed as just now, like, you know. So actually, there was the ICAT, people look after this, the fishery, who decide where it gets put in, what category it gets put in, they were saying, like, Canada, we're the leaders in looking after these fish up here, you know. Mm-hmm. There's strict measures on how many get caught every year, and they're really watching the catch and release fishery, too, and actually they do take a mortality, they take some of our commercial tonnage and move it across to our catch and release, and they take a 3.5% mortality rate So every fish that gets landed, they take 3.5% of the average weight, which is about 700 pounds, mm-hmm. and actually take that off a quota. So if we were to land hook and release 100 fish, they would take that off, that weight off, actually, a total that we can only catch. Like, so it's well looked after fishery, and it's been going really well the last 4 years, and everybody's really happy with it. So
awesome. So yeah. it looks like it, you know, you'll be okay to keep fishing them for a number of years yet, at least.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're fingers crossed for it, like, hey, so mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of tagging getting done the last couple of years with these charter boats too, and these fish are showing up again. They're showing up all over the world. So catch and release works. And also, of course, these charter guys, as I said, are putting tags in fish too. So we're actually doing a bit of science as well. So it's it helps these scientists figure out what's going on with the giant bluefin tuna. So it's
interesting.
Quite a project, that's for sure.
Yeah, fascinating. So
yeah.
These things are no question, you know, the biggest game fish that anyone... I mean, is it the biggest game fish in the world? I mean, other than like a giant great white or something like that?
I think the biggest the one above it is the blue marlin.
Oh, blue marlin.
Which can get up to about 1,700, 1,800 pounds, mm-hmm. like, eh? So, mm-hmm. But apart from that, it's a bluefin, like, eh? So they're...
awesome.
And the numbers of them are just huge just now up here in Nova Scotia. People are traveling from New Zealand, South Africa, Australia to come here and fish them because there's nowhere else on the planet where you can... fish them so plentiful, actually hand feed the fish before you hook them up, like, hey, you know, you can stand and pick out what fish you want to catch. So
it's
huge for the economy. You know, these guys are coming up, there's some wealthy guys coming up here and you know, they go to a restaurant and a bar and they're throwing huge tips at waitresses and waiters and spending money on their local economies too. So it's really in Antigonish County, it's really grown, and the locals really support it because they see how good it's doing for the economy. So
awesome. So as somebody who might be interested in coming up and doing that, you know, like what's the average day? Run us through, you know, the average outing, how it goes, kind of from start to finish.
Yeah, well, everybody usually leaves Cape George 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll jump on the boat. We'll give you the rundown of the safety equipment on the boat before we leave shore. Make sure everybody knows where life rafts and life jackets are, and then we'll head out to get bait fish first. You know, we'll fish sometimes live mackerel, so mm-hmm. we'll do some jigging for mackerel. And other times later on in the season, late mid-September onwards, we're using mainly heron because the heron are in the bay by that time, so that's what the tuna are really feeding heavily on. So we usually have a couple of nets out there, and we'll go out and pick some heron out of the nets, and then we'll head to the fishing grounds. And it could be 10 miles offshore, it could be half a mile offshore, just depends where the fish were the day before. And actually, the charter group's really good. They'll spread out over the whole Gulf. And then the radio will come on. People are spotting fish here, spotting fish there. And so we can, even from Cape George, we can fish right across the PEI. You can go up in Tignish in like 7-8 hours, or you could be off the Cape Breton in an hour, or you can be off the ridge fishing in an hour and a half. Like, hey, so we're really central, so we can shoot off to anywhere you really want in a day to catch fish. So
fascinating. So once you're out there and you got your bait, some fish are being spotted, how does that work? So you just, everybody kind of zones in on where the school is. Do they school?
They can school heavily, especially if, just say, the heron fishery is going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine there's 100 heron boats out there and they're all pulling up nets, and there's heron condensed in an area, and when these nets are coming up, the tuna fish are free feeding off the heron that are feet falling out the back of the nets and stuff like that. So that'll really school them up. Or if there is just a tight ball of heron out there, that'll school them up too. Very rarely does a fish travel by itself, like, eh? So if you're sounding one fish, there's usually a few more fish there. So just say in August is my favorite fishery because there's actually less fish. So you're actually really fishing for the fish, like, either you're having to try different things, everything from putting a live mackerel on a kite, which is basically the dry fly fishing.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the mackerel right on top of the water, just say 50 feet off the back of the boat, and it's right on top of the water, so you actually see the tuna fish come up and take it. Mm. Or you can be using a Huey rig, which is basically either a live mackerel or a dead heron, put down, you know, 50 feet with a weight, and it swims around there. Or you can have a dead bait, and you're just dropping the dead bait like it's fluttering down in the water to a certain depth. Then you pick her back up, repeat the process, mm-hmm. and all the time as well, most of the time we're chumming as well with either heron or mackerel, depending on what's on the go and what the fish are feeding on. So there's all different ways to catch mm-hmm. them. And actually, we've actually had them on crankbaits too. So if we've seen fish, we'll get the crankbait, toss the crankbait out, and start retrieving it, and they'll take crankbaits too. Like
really? Like a big Rapala?
A big Rapala. We have some big rubber mackerel that we use. Mm-hmm. And also you can trawl for them too. That's another way you can do. You can trawl squid rigs, which is really an old-fashioned way of doing it, because back then the gas was cheap, people used to cruise around the Gulf. And you just trawl this daisy chain of squid. And, of course, the last squid in the row got a hook in it, and the mm-hmm. tuna will come up. And it's a good way to fish them, too, because it's a sight fishery. When the fish comes up, you get to see it take the bait. So there's all different kinds of techniques out there to catch fish. Actually, hooking fish is no problem in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest part is actually getting your fish to the side of the boat, because a lot of the times you're fighting a fish over 1,000 pounds that does not want to come to your boat. There's loads of skill involved in that. So then we'll fish out there for the day. And as nowadays, this year we have, you'd like to land two fish to the side of the boat. So just say you went out and you hooked up a fish in the morning, got to the side of the boat. If the boys wanted to do it, if there was a lot of fish going out, if they wanted to catch the second fish straight away and then be done for the day, well, that would be fine too. But there's also there's whales going on at the time, so you can go feed whales, and even just stand and feed tuna all day is fun as well. So we try and spread the day out so you get your full day.
Right.
And there's lunch on the boats too. I usually have a barbecue or lobster sandwiches or whatever. And it's definitely it's a full day. And of course you can be jigging mackerel and jigging cod and everything when you're out there too. So it's
nice.
There's loads going on, that's for sure.
Sounds good. And there's a lot, talk of lobster sandwiches is making me hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, as of the time of this recording, which is almost summer of 2014, what's the regulation? I heard you mention you're allowed to hook two.
We're allowed to get two fish to the side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're allowed to hook up four times. So if you just happen to run four fish and lose them, then that's the end of the day too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to help. So is the mortality rate. You're not hooking too many fish in a day, and you know what I mean? So, as I say, it's very strictly looked at, and that's the way the fishermen want it, because we've got this unique resource that could be here forever if it's looked after. So, and actually, nowadays, there's more money in the catch and release than there is in the commercial, because mm-hmm. Japan just isn't paying for the tuna fish no more. So it's a definitely good way to go. I have nothing bad to say about the commercial, apart from they don't make the money they used to make, and that's well looked after too. We have a certain tonnage that goes on signs, so mm-hmm. it's all good.
Okay, so there is a commercial side of it too. Every season up there.
Yes, there is. Yes, there's 112 commercial boats, licenses, and it gets split up. And just now, it basically, with the tonnage we get, it basically means everybody gets at least one tag, and I think there's 30 more people get second tags, and that basically brings us to our quota, our tonnage, our Canadian tonnage. And that can be done any time of the year. That can be done any time from August till the end of November, I think, is when the commercial season finishes. But a lot of these guys are commercial fishermen. I've changed over, or they do both, but a lot of them are doing the charters too. And finding it more profitable and more fun too.
Absolutely.
You're not as stressed when you lose a fish.
Right.
Was it worth $30,000 or the name days are long gone, $30,000 fish. So.
Sure. Yeah. So when a fish is hooked on one of these charters, is it a one-man show, or is it just up to the angler itself? Do you guys take turns rotating? And
well,
how does that work?
Totally up to you guys. It's totally up to you guys. Now, the rule is you have to fight the fish within an hour. So, in my experience over the last 10 years is actually the faster you play the fish and get to the site, number one, is better for the fish. Mm-hmm. And number two is you actually have more chance of landing the fish because you give it less time to rub your line against boats or nets or against fins, like, you know. So when I definitely want my clients to fight as hard as they can. If they fight for 15 minutes and they're tired because we've given it all, then it's a good time to change and get the fresh pair of legs and back into the chair and let them fight it until they're done. And then, you know, so sometimes maybe even the four people can get on the chair for each fish and get it fought in. There's obviously some people want to go out and land their fish themselves, and that's all cool too, but there's plenty of opportunity to share a fish, like, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah. If an angler is lucky enough to get one of these big bluefins to the side of the boat, is there enough opportunity to get a picture of it before it's released?
Oh yeah, for sure, because when we land the fish, just like when we're landing a trout and a salmon, we revive the fish, so we'll put the boat in gear, and me being a wireman on the back of the boat, I'll have a hold of the line right beside the fish, the tuna's mouth, and we'll have the boat in gear, so it's pulling fresh water, mm-hmm, over the gills, mm-hmm, of the tuna fish. And once we see a bit more fight come back to her, then we'll cut the line right at the hook. Most of the hookups, because they're circle hooks, they're hooked right on the lips, like, okay? So we can either take the hook out or we cut the line right at the hook, and this gives it a lot of, when the fish is at the side of the boat, people can lean over and get their pictures taken with this fish, like, hey, I mean,
awesome.
There's some great pictures to be taken just like that, like, you know, it's of course great to see it swim away too, so.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's a big fish there, and
exactly,
and they travel quite a ways, don't they? Go all the way down as far as the Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico is where they spawn. And there's fish come up here too that head across to the Mediterranean. So,
wow,
they're world travelers, that's for sure. And plus, they're warm-blooded fish too, which is crazy, like, eh? So, they're just a factory of protein is what they are. They just follow the bait fish and they just eat, and they're just phenomenal. And to see one up close, it's one of God's greatest creations. It just looked like it came out of a GMC truck factory or something, just been made by a sheet metal guy. Like, they're just a beautiful,
awesome
gene, like, hey. So it's, awesome. It's a great fishery to be involved in, and
that's fantastic.
And I'm glad Canada has took the lead in this and really look after it. So it's
really good.
It's on the economy too. So
If somebody's interested in finding out more about this, obviously I'm gonna have links and information in the show notes of this episode. But is there any info you want to relay, or do you want me to just link to a certain location for you?
Sure. Well, you can definitely look up Northumberland Bluefin Tuna Charters. That's the company that I'm with. And of course, we sail from the 1st of August through whenever the season closes, okay, which can be, and obviously once you get into October and stuff, you're getting into rougher waters and rougher times. I mean, the fish are still there, and of course, just go on the website and you'll see all mm-hmm. different kinds of links for the fishing, like, eh?
So, okay, so you got different packages available, depends on, you know, whatever time the client has available.
Exactly. Yeah. If somebody's just out for a half day, that can be done too, like, eh? So mm-hmm. it's, and usually they're up groups, like, it's very comfortable with four people, but there's some people want five and six people, like,
sure,
eh? So it's,
it's
comfortable with four people, that's for sure. It's
awesome.
It's a great day. I mean, you know, and the prices are, it's been $2,000 a day,
mm-hmm.
But if you break that between four people, it's only $500 mm-hmm. to catch the fish of a lifetime.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, as a salmon fisher yourself, that will spend way more than that to try and catch a fish of a lifetime, like, you know what I mean? So it's,
that's true.
When you put it into that perspective, it's, and plus it's just a great day out as well, like,
phenomenal
to see that kind of stuff, the whales, the dolphins, tuna fish and birds and everything's out there, like, it. So it's an awesome day.
So what's the maximum number of people you can have in your party?
Well, some boats are bigger than ours. Our boat would be six, and mm-hmm. there's five and four. That's kind of six. Okay. Six, I would say, was maximum. Like
yeah.
you know, so
yeah.
So okay. it just gets a tighter squeeze after that, and sure. everybody trying to see fish, and
sure,
you know,
sure.
And you've got six macro rods over at the same time. Hoops on, it can be messy. Like hey, so.
That does sound yeah. messy, but yeah, I'm sure if somebody was, you know, if three or four people were cool, just going out, you know, taking pictures yeah. and watching things and having a barbecue.
And that's true too. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Some people just want to do that too, and, sure. and of course there's fishing inside for people that don't like being really offshore.
Mm-hmm.
Cape George, you can go off Cape George, and within 5 minutes you can be sitting on top of fish, like eh?
So, awesome.
Or you can, if you're an explorer and you want to head to PEI or you want to head to Cape Breton or the mm-hmm. Ridge, then it's all very accessible and it's great fun.
Awesome, Steve. I really appreciate you taking the time to tell us more about this tuna fishery. And of course, if anybody who's listening wants to learn more, you can check the show notes for this episode. Just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com and search up the episode. This will be the first one on tuna, and Steve Clapperton, of course, host of East Links Fishing with Friends, joining me today. Thanks again, Steve, and tight lines, and I hope to maybe get up there and check out some of these tuna with you before too long.
Exactly, buddy. I'm looking forward to having you.
Awesome. All right, man.
Excellent, Dave. Thanks very much.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. All right, well, there you have it. Thank you, Steve, for taking some time out of your day to fill us in a little bit more about the tuna fishery. And by all means, if anybody listening has any interest in finding out more information about the tuna fishery or booking a charter of your own, just check the show notes for this episode, which can be found at maritimeoutdoorsman.com/012 for episode 12. Alternatively, you can just go to www.northumberlandbluefintunacharters.com. That's the charter that Steve works on himself. And yeah, just thanks for joining me for another episode. I hope you have a great day. Tight lines, and we'll talk to you soon.